come to the book of James itself, on page 51, I think I'll give you my diagram next time. We just have 5 or 6 minutes. So let's go on with our first principle. On the middle of page 51, an examination of the inaccurate statement. I believe with my head, but not with my heart. It may be that everyone in this class has at some time used this inaccurate expression. I believe with my head, but not with my heart. Many people use it all the time. I use it for years, and every time you go around, you find somebody saying, I believe it with my head, but not with my heart. Well, I think often they're driving at something which is true, but don't chop their heads off when they say it. But at the same time, don't use that expression. You see why it's so inaccurate. It's so inaccurate because of the overlapping between the head and the heart. You see, if at any moment I don't believe a thing with my heart, I don't really believe with my head. At any moment when you don't believe a thing with your heart, you don't really believe with your head. The head is not distinct from the heart. These are overlapping things. Now, the book of James gives us the accurate way to approach this. Not I believe it with my head, but not with my heart. But the reason I love this from James is it's God's inspired approach, and it has teeth in it. This other doesn't have any teeth in it. I believe that with my head, but not with my heart. That doesn't have teeth in it. This has teeth in it. The way James presents it is, I believe it as the devil does. That's the way James presents it. I believe with my head, not with my heart. No, I believe it as the devil does. Well, after all, who wants to believe a thing as the devil believes it? Because you know the whole thing is unreal. If I believe it as the devil believes it. James 2:19 is one of the most shocking statements in the Bible. It says, the devils believe and tremble. The devils believe and tremble. The Revised translates it, the demons believe and shudder. In other words, there is such a thing as devil faith. There is such a thing as demon faith. And you see, these general epistles are checking me on this. Is my faith real faith, or is it devil faith? There's a wonderful passage in the Gospels that illustrates devil faith. Matthew 8:29 tells of these two possessed with demons. And it says, they cried out, saying to Jesus, what have we to do with thee, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Matthew 8:29. That verse gives you a good illustration of devil faith. Does the devil believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Indeed he does. That's devil faith, see? It doesn't mean that everybody who believes Jesus is the Son of God has devil faith. But I can believe Jesus is the Son of God, and I can believe it with devil faith. Not real faith. We know who thou art, the Son of God. The man possessed with demons said that to Jesus. And then they said, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Heavily, the words before the time mean before the final casting into the lake of fire. Does the devil believe in hell? Does he believe he's going to hell one day? Yes, he does. He believes it. But he doesn't believe it the way God wants me to believe it. God wants me to believe the doctrine of hell very differently from the way the devil does. And so instead of saying, I believe this with my head, but not with my heart, say, I believe it as the devil does. Boy, I tell you, that has teeth to it. Because nobody wants to believe it like that. In other words, is there such a thing as devil faith in the deity of Christ? Oh, indeed there is. Young people, the deity of Christ carries millions of implications to it. And just because somebody can sign a little creedal statement saying he believes in the deity of Christ, doesn't it all prove he believes in the deity of Christ? I want to ask him some questions. What do you believe about Christian education? He said, well, I believe in the deity of Christ, do you? Come on now, let's apply it to the field of education. What do you believe about education? The deity of Christ carries a million and one implications to it. And there's such a thing as devil faith in the deity of Christ. Is there such a thing as devil faith in the truth of hell? Indeed, there is. And that's what James is writing against. James isn't writing against faith. Oh, no, rightly interpreted, he's showing the only thing I need is faith. The only thing you need is faith. But he's checking it, whether or not it's true faith or devil faith. May I ask for show of hands, how many of you have ever used that expression, I believe it with my head but not with my heart? Well, that's one of the favorites, and it just goes around all the time. That's definitely not true. If I don't believe with my heart, I don't believe with my head. Because the two things are intimately bound up together. You know who warned me on that? You just guessed. I've quoted him once or twice before in this class. Dr. McCrooken. He called my hand on that and said, Frank, don't talk about that. You believe with your head, not with your heart. You don't believe with your heart, you don't believe with your head. The two things go together. Second principle, ask God to open your heart completely to the distinctive contribution of the book of James. I believe the distinctive contribution of James is that it's the strongest, most direct book in the Bible. Against what? You tell me. James is the strongest, most direct book in the Bible against what? Against dead orthodoxy. Now the Bible says a lot against dead orthodoxy, but the book of James is by far the strongest book in the Bible against dead orthodoxy. Now watch. The moment I was saved, that moment I was justified. And the moment I was saved, that moment there was a difference in my life. How many contradict that? I was saved for 10 years. There wasn't any difference in my life. And then finally I surrendered. You know that idea? Well, it's true. A person may not interpret his own experience accurately. I can misinterpret my experience. But look, suppose this is true. I was saved, and then for 10 years there's no difference in my life. What it means is I wasn't really saved for those 10 years. Because one thing James makes absolutely clear is the fact that when I was justified, there was a change in my life. And when you were saved, there was a change in your life. And this strikes at the very foundation of dead orthodoxy. I believe James is the greatest book in the Bible against this evil. All right, shall we have our place? Blessed Lord, how we thank thee for the many approaches thou dost give us to the precious truths of thy word. Lord, we need every one of them. We're a needy people. We need everything God's given to us. And so lead us on now, Lord, into true reality. We thank thee that when we know Christ, we have reality. And now, Lord, just lead us deeper into him all the time we pray. I'm going to offer this prayer and ask you to pray it quietly, and then we'll pray it aloud. I want us to adopt it as our prayer verse for this class. Our class verse.
Dig deeply into
me, O God, and lead me in the way everlasting. Dig deeply into me, O God,
lead me in the way everlasting.
Thank him that he's doing it.
Will you pray that audibly
with me as we close, everyone, in unison together? Dig deeply into me, O God, and lead me in the way everlasting. In Jesus' precious name, amen.